As his life draws to an end, Jesus took in one deep breath and pushed his feet down on that Roman nail. As air came into his lungs, he cried out, "It is finished." And then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Underneath the cross, the witnesses pondered what he meant when he cried out, "It is finished." One of those witnesses was a Roman guard.
"It is finished." "Exactly, Jesus. It is finished. We have guarded you and we have made sure of your death. Our work here is finished. Now we will soon be able to go off duty and return to our families. I am relieved that it is finished."
Underneath the cross was a bunch of people that were out for a good time. They were simply onlookers. When those words came out of the mouth of Christ, one turned to his mates and said,
"It's finished? All right, boys. He's dead. We've had a bit of entertainment for today, but now it's over. We'll have to come back next week to see a good crucifixion. We've had a bit of fun with them, hey? But I'm actually a little bit surprised that it's over so quickly."
The saddest person witnessing the ugly events this Black Friday was Mary, the mother of Jesus. When she heard those words come out of the mouth of her boy, she cried,
"It is finished. My boy is gone. He was taken from me far too soon. My relationship with my son is finished. Why was this world so cruel to him? I feel as if I'm being torn into pieces because it's finished."
Another witness to the events of that day was the Roman governor, Pilate. He had sentenced Jesus to death because of the insistence of the Jews. Yet he believed that Jesus had done nothing deserving of death. When Jesus uttered, "It is finished," Pilate was glad.
"Finally, it is finished. Oh, the mess this has been, the difficulties that this man has caused me. Finally, this conflict between the wretched Jews and this man Jesus. It's over. It's been put to bed. I'll finally be able to sleep tonight. Yes, it is finished."
Next to the mother of Jesus was the disciple John. He was loyal to Jesus while the other disciples ran. He was there at the cross, but he hadn't quite put the pieces together yet.
"It's finished. I can't believe it. I thought that he would be the one to overturn the establishment. I thought he was the Messiah, but now he's dead. And all our plans, our dreams, our ministry, it's over. Our master is gone. And after all that we accomplished, I am astonished that it is finished."
Plenty of people heard those words uttered from the cross that day. But what did it really mean?
What did Jesus mean when he cried out, "It is finished"? I love that drama because I think it explains to us what everyone else who had a part in his death was actually thinking. But what a different meaning each person attached to that phrase. The soldier at the cross, "Yes, it's finished. We get to go home now. Our work is done. We've made sure that we've covered, we've got Pilate's wishes, and we've executed Jesus according to that. Our job's done. It's finished. We can go home." The crowd, "Yes, it's finished. The entertainment's finished for the week." The Romans had turned crucifixion into a spectacle. People stood, they gazed, they cheered, and this crucifixion was no different. When Jesus cried out, "It is finished," they interpret it to mean, well, look, he's just given up. He's no longer wanting to push air into his lungs. So they would have thought, well, our entertainment's over. The women at the cross who supported Jesus in the Bible reading that Barry read to us, Mary Magdalene and the others, they would have thought, well, our vigil's finished. We've stood beside him right throughout his ministry and now he's dead. I guess we can go home too because it's finished. Pilate, for him, well, thank heavens, it's finished. This dilemma that he had with this man, these wretched Jews wanted him dead. He believed that he wasn't deserving of death. And yet he sentenced him to death. For him, it's just pure relief, I think. It's finished. Finally, he can sleep. Mary, the mother of Jesus, well, they've taken her son. The relationship now is finished. He's gone. The disciples, their hopes and their plans. The coming of the new kingdom where Jesus was going to reign as king, it's finished. But the incredible thing is, Jesus did not mean any of those things when he uttered those words from the cross, "It is finished." No, something much more wonderful, something much more grand and rich was meant by those words. Let me explain what I mean. You know, in the original text of Greek, these three words that we have in English, "it is finished," is just one word in Greek. But in Greek, you have different tenses. You know, we have past tense, "it was finished." We have present tense, "it is finished." We have future tense, "it will be finished." In Greek, they have the perfect tense, which means that this phrase really gets translated, "it is finished and it will always be finished." In fact, our English expression of "finished" is quite weak as well, because it doesn't mean that it's ended now. It means more something like it's been completed. It's been accomplished. And so really when Jesus utters these words, "it is finished," he's really saying it's accomplished and it will always be accomplished. It's always completed. Nothing more needs to be done. And so the question we need to ask, of course, well, what did Christ accomplish? What did he complete? What did he finish? And the answer is that Christ accomplished or completed or finished the perfect act of atoning for people's sins. Remember Jesus himself in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, he said to the people gathered around, "The Son of Man has not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Well, at the age of 33, Jesus says, "It's accomplished. I've done it. It's completed. Nothing more needs to be done. It's finished." And so the Bible says at 3 p.m. sharp, Jesus dismissed his life. I'm not sure about any of us that we can actually dismiss our own lives. But Jesus says, "I give up my spirit. Into your hands I commit my spirit." And he dismisses his life. You know, normally crucifixion takes a good 2 or 3 days. It can be up to even 7 days. It's a long and lingering death. It comes by suffocation. You get to the point where you can no longer kind of lift up yourself and get air into your diaphragm, and so you suffocate. But Jesus dies within 6 hours. Why? Because he'd been flogged earlier? No. No, he decided it was finished. He decided he'd finished what he came to do. The one who said to people, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink," was thirsty. He cried out, "I thirst." And the amazing thing is this, the one who comes to bring springs of living water to the rest of us does it at the cost of his own thirst. He took the weight of sin upon his shoulders. He went through hell. He was abandoned by his father. He cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And at that point, this perfect man takes the sin of the world upon his shoulders, and he gives himself as a ransom for many. The work of atonement for sin is complete. The work of living perfectly as a man and then fulfilling the law and then offering himself as the perfect sacrifice for sins was completed. It was finished and will always be finished. He'd done it all, he'd paid it all, he'd suffered all he needed to save sinners and to satisfy the justice of God. He'd fought the battle and he'd won it. He went through hell carrying the penalty for our sins and he cried out. And the crowd might have thought that it was a cry of giving up, but this was a victorious cry, a victorious accomplishment. It is finished. And it will always be finished. Which brings me to the point of application for you and I today. Friends, Jesus completed it. He finished it all so that you and I would never have to do anything more. And yet I fear so many people actually don't get this. You know why I say this? Because I'm in a unique position at times to be able to ask a dying person on their hospital bed, if you die tonight and stand before God, and he asks the question, why shall I let you into heaven, what would you say? And time again, I hear people give the answer that says Jesus hasn't finished it. You know what they say? God, you should let me in because I've loved you my whole life. God, you should let me in because I've been to church for 30 plus years. God, you should let me in because I've been a good bloke all my life. God, you should let me in because I've tried to do what the Bible says. God, you should let me in because I've been baptized. And every time someone answers a question like that, they're really saying, the death of your son on the cross, it wasn't finished. You need a little bit of my work as well to go along with that. And what people are doing, in effect, is they're saying to God, you're not finished. Your work of atoning for sin isn't finished. You need a little bit of my goodness to go along with it. You need my baptism to go along with it. You need my church going to go along with it. Do you hear what I'm saying? To come to God on Judgment Day, and to have that great appointment in life that none of you can plan into your diaries, but you'll have it, to get there on Judgment Day and then to try and hand God something that you've done, in effect you're just spitting on the perfect accomplishment of the work of Christ for you. You're saying to him, Jesus, you're okay, thank you for what you've done, but I need to add a little bit to it. My friends, it's finished. It will always be finished. And so if you really get it, if you really do get it, then on that great day, then you'll have to stand before your Creator and give an account of how you've lived your life. Then what you're going to do when he asks that question, why shall I let you in? You're going to reply like the great hymn writer, nothing in my hands I bring. It's simply to your cross I cling. And he might say, is that fair? And you'll say, no, it's not fair. But it's your love for me. It's your love for me. And that's it. Nothing more. Because it's finished. Let me pray. Father, we want to thank you this morning for this great reminder on Good Friday, that the work of atoning for people's sins was finished in the Lord Jesus Christ. That he was your great lamb, the perfect lamb, that took away the sins of the world. And now nothing more is to be done. In this death, you opened up the back door of heaven. In this death, you allow us who are imperfect a way into an eternal life with you. Father, we pray for those who don't get it. Those who think that they need to offer you something in order for you to accept them. Oh, Father, open their eyes. Give them ears that would hear. Help them to understand that what you require from us, you provided for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we realize this is not fair. It's quite disarming, really, Lord, to be put into a situation where we realize that there is nothing in our hands that we can bring, but simply to your cross we cling. But Lord, we know it's your grace that teaches us to say no to ungodliness and no to worldly desires. It's your grace that teaches us to live upright and holy lives. Not because we have to in order to be accepted by you, but because we want to out of complete thankfulness. And so, Father, help us. Help us to get it. And help us to live a life of thankfulness. It's in your name we pray these things. Amen.